tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go. Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with Nellie Goetz. Dr. Nellie Goetz is an associate professor of practice at the University of Arizona College of Veterinary Medicine, with a doctorate in veterinary medicine from The Ohio State University and a master of public health from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She brings a wealth of expertise to her roles. Dr. Goetz is a passionate advocate for animal welfare and has dedicated her career to improving the lives of community cats. She co-directs the anesthesia and surgery course and leads an elective week-long community cat management course, only the second of its kind to be offered at U.S. vet schools. Dr. Goetz has presented nationally and internationally at veterinary and animal welfare conferences, sharing her insights on spay-neuter research, community cat surgery solutions, and the impact of veterinary services on public health. She shares her life with her husband, an assortment of cats, most of whom were former community cats, and enjoys identifying the birds and various wildlife in her backyard. Dr. Goetz, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you.
So first and foremost, I ask all of my guests, how did you get to be passionate about cats?
I had actually a very circuitous route to it. So as a youngster wanting to be a veterinarian, I was really obsessed with horses. And so the cats that I was exposed to were mostly barn cats. I had cats growing up and I liked my cats, but I can't say I was particularly obsessed with all cats. And then when I was in my, I did a large animal surgery residency. So I was large animal focused first. I met my husband. He was in vet school and he was a cat guy. And I will tell you, at first, I didn't really understand cats. And I think a lot of people have that sort of first experience with cats. I would always say when I was in vet school, I would rather restrain the angriest horse than restrain an angry cat, because they grow 16 extra paws. They do all sorts of aerial acrobatics to get away from you. But once I met a cat guy and I really started to try to, he came with two cats, one of which was extremely moody. And I was determined to make this cat my best friend because he really didn't like me at first. And so I think once I started to try to understand cats more and to understand cat behavior, particularly, I understood this whole other side of cats. And it really sort of opened up my eyes to what incredible little creatures they are. And then I started to want to understand more about how cats live, truly. I didn't end up doing large animal. I ended up going into high volume spay neuter, kind of fell into it sideways because there really weren't, I finished my residency when there weren't a lot of jobs. And I ended up doing high volume spay neuter. And in high volume spay neuter, obviously, there are a lot of community cats. That's where we get most of our experience and exposure with it. So that's how I ended up getting exposed to community cats and being with someone who was a cat guy, and then really starting to want to understand cats and cat behavior more. That sort of took me down this lifelong cat obsession path.
So for you, this whole community cat discovery on a bigger picture, you as a teaching veterinarian, understanding that community cats are a result of some overpopulation issues as well as the desire to have cats outside. From your perspective, what was your discovery with regards to needing more exposure in the veterinary space around community cat program management, or what that all involves? Along with just like, oh, I'm just a high quality, high volume spay neuter vet. Why do we need to know more? Why do the veterinarians need to know more than just that picture?
That's a great question. It really comes down to community service. So I think that community cats give us a picture of what our community needs, because they are a reflection of what's going on in those pockets of the community where they are. And so community cats get brought into typically, most typically, high volume spay neuter clinics low-cost care clinics and shelter clinics. But we are seeing an expansion of community cat care in communities where we've got people who see these cats and who are really committed to providing them with the highest quality care. And this is starting to expand beyond just people who are trapping for population management. And people, it's expanding into people who are trapping even smaller groups of individual cats and even one-on-one individual cats, or just picking up one-on-one individual cats and bringing them into their homes, wanting to make them part of their individual homes and wanting to provide the best care for them. So there's a need to educate future veterinarians as to not only what your community needs, because veterinarians are the community providers of care, but also what you may be seeing as a private practitioner, whether you're a GP, whether you're an emergency clinician, whether you're a dermatology, ophthalmology, surgical specialist, because somebody may be bringing a solo community cat to you for that care.
So the ultimate goal and purpose of providing community cat program management within education is to have it become part of that base package that every veterinarian gets across the board. That is your desire.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think they learn things from this course that can complement things that they've learned in other portions of their courses. And I also think they learn things in this course that they don't learn in other portions of their courses. One of the things that we do is we have some specific conversations about topics that surround community cats that are not just things like drug protocols and things like surgical techniques. We have deeper conversations like, what do you do if you are involved in a situation, a potential hoarding situation? Because it can be difficult sometimes to separate who is in trouble and an overwhelmed caretaker and who is doing okay, even though they've got 15 to 20 colony cats. We also talk about things like, for instance, what can you do when you're starting a if you've got someone that comes up to you and wants to start a community cat program, how does that even work? What are the legalities that work around that? If there's been a feeding ban in your particular community, how do you help people work around that? And we have people from the community that have been successful in starting these programs and have had opportunities to go through these things, come through and talk to the students, because they may not know when they get out into practice who to even go to. And that can seem really daunting if someone comes to you and asks you for help, especially if you're new, or even if you've been out for 5-10 years and you just don't know, who do I go to? Who do I ask? It's important to have that information in your back pocket so that you can say, yes, I can help you. Here's what I can do, rather than feeling helpless and feeling like, I'd like to help you, but I had no idea where to even start.
Right. So you've described this as being, it's a week-long elective course, and it's at the University of Arizona College of Veterinary Medicine. I believe you've gone through this at least once with the group of students. What was the size of the students? And maybe just walk us through, what would that week-long course look like?
Sure. We've actually had two iterations. The first iteration had 10 students. The second iteration, we were super fortunate. We were able to expand to 20 students, which was amazing. And it occurs for 1 week, and all 20 students are there for the entire week for 5 days. Starts about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning for the students. For the faculty and the staff, we're starting about 6:30 in the morning because we have to go pick the cats up. So for 20 students, we have between 40 and 50 cats a day. This is what we did this past year. That's our goal, is to get through about 50 cats a day. And the students rotate each day. They don't rotate each day. They rotate through the week through 5 specific roles. So their roles are intake / induction, prep, anesthesia, surgery, and recovery. They're in a role for 1 full day because we felt like that was going to allow them to experience that role most fully. And that way, it repetition really allows you to learn the best. And that's been borne out through lots of different educational studies, but allowing them to experience that over and over and over and over. They are in groups when they are either in the induction, prep, or recovery role. When they are in anesthesia or surgery, they are by themselves. When they're in the surgery role, they are paired up one-on-one with a clinician. So they really get high quality instruction and one-on-one. They've got an instructor scrubbed in with them in surgery for the entirety of the day. They get about 10 surgeries that day, just depending on what the mix of genders is. Because if it's a lot of males, they may get a few more. If it's a lot of females, they may get a few less. We give them about 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes of surgical time. It just depends. So what we do with them in the morning when the students are in surgery is we say, what are your surgical goals for this day? Do you need practice suturing? Do you need practice finding the uterus? Do you need practice doing your autoligations? Or would you like to start each surgery and see how far you get with each female? With the males, they're able to do the whole thing. We have some students who are able to complete a 15-minute CAT stay by the end of the day, which is phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. It is incredibly helpful for them to have that one-on-one surgical instruction. When they're in anesthesia, they have a dedicated technician that is floating around to help them. And so there's four surgical tables. So there's four anesthesia students. So it's a 1-to-4 ratio. When they're in prep, they have a dedicated technician that is helping them intubate the cats, that's helping them make sure that their surgical margins are appropriate, helping them do their surgical preps, helping them judge depth of anesthesia. When they're in induction and recovery, they have two dedicated technicians that are in there with them. They don't ever pull up the controlled drugs, but they do induce the cats. They poke them in the traps. They decide when they're down enough, if they need another dose. They discuss all of that with the technicians and have those conversations. And so it's a really high intensity course. I would tell you, I'm exhausted every single day of that course. I usually come home and fall asleep on the couch before it's even time for dinner. But it's incredible the amount of learning that happens during that week, and the number of cats that we're able to help during that week is just, it's all free for the community. So the college provides an incredible amount of support during that week, financial support during that week. So it's pretty awesome.
And these are all, they're all cats that are going to be returned, right?
Correct.
They're all cats that are getting tipped and tattooed and returned.
Yes.
Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today.
Every day, lost cats end up in shelters, scared, confused, and missing their families. You can be the reason for a happy reunion. Join us on March 12th for the Return to Home Certification Workshop and leave behind the assumptions about dumped, abandoned, or unwanted stray cats. In this 90-minute webinar, you'll learn proven strategies to reunite lost cats with their families without overburdening shelters or your staff. You'll walk away with a digital certificate of completion, access to an exclusive networking group, and, if you're an animal control officer, continuing education credits from NACA. Whether you're a volunteer, adoption staff member, colony caretaker, or in a leadership role, this workshop will provide valuable, life-changing insights for the feline population in your community and for desperate families searching for their missing pets. Registration is just $10. Sign up now at communitycatspodcast.com/homesweethome. Be the reason a lost cat finds their way home. Again, register today at communitycatspodcast.com /homesweethome.
So are you, do you have a community cat partner that you work with to source the cats?
We do. We partner with Humane Society of Arizona and Pima County Animal Care. So they both are phenomenal at providing us quite a few cats. Their volunteers are out there trapping, obviously, every night before this course. And so they have just been absolutely incredible partners. Merck Animal Health actually provided us with vaccines for this last iteration of the course, with FVRCP vaccines and rabies vaccines for free. So that was an incredible contribution on their part. And HSSA and Pima County Animal Care both provided us with, I think Pima provided us with flea and tick and microchips. And then HSSA provided us with flea and tick for their cats that they sent. So incredible community partners. Could not have done this without them, obviously, in their volunteer network.
So in the last 5 years, we've seen a dramatic shift in the amount of available spay-neuter appointments across the nation with regards to affordable spay-neuter appointments for owned cats, as well as for community cat trap-neuter return programs or return-to-field programs. We are struggling with capacity to be able to care for those cats across the board. Back when I started out in the 90s, around 2000, late 90s, early 2000, we had what we call MASH style clinics, which were the clinics very similarly modeled to what you just described. And we still have them to this day. We still offer free spay neuter for any cat in a trap. I don't care where it comes from. It just shows up on a Sunday, gets done. There's 6 volunteer veterinarians. There's like 40 volunteers happily waiting to receive those cats. And it's this magical symphony of cats traveling throughout the clinic. We currently use a Humane Society that has a large clinic facility, but in olden times, we were using private practice clinics on Sundays when they were closed. We were utilizing their space and we were bringing all the supplies in. We were bringing our drugs in. The vet was bringing the drugs in and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we talked about how to take this information that your students are learning, moving it into private practice. You talked about Singleton. But what about this option of maybe going back to these MASH style clinics on a Sunday when the clinic is closed? Can we utilize those resources?
I would love to see that. I would love to see that type of capacity, something on a Sunday. Even to be honest with you, what about overnights? That was something when I was running a high volume spay neuter clinic. It was a multi-site clinic before I came to University of Arizona. We talked about what about doing feral cats overnights, because we were having a little bit of an issue with capacity trying to, we had such an overwhelming need for owned pets during the day that we were trying to figure out how to, and I was so committed to keeping those spots for the community cats, but it was like, how can we balance this? And I just offhand one day said to one of the technicians, man, what if we did, because I'm a night person, I'm not a morning person at all. And I said, what if you did overnight shifts with community cats? And she was like, oh my gosh, I would be your technician. And I thought, well, what about those emergency veterinarians that one day on, they do a 4 days off, 4 days on or something like that, get 4 emergency veterinarians on a day off. You have a private practice clinic that doesn't see pets past 5 p.m. and people can drop their community cats off whenever during the day, as you mentioned at that clinic before, where they just kind of dropped them off in the back, drop them off whenever during the day so that they're there at 9 p.m. when everybody shows up, and then just get through a bunch of cats in the middle of the night. Everything gets picked up before the clinic opens up in the morning or during the day the next day. It doesn't really matter. That also makes it really easy and straightforward for the community to be able, because that's one of the issues too, is community access. You know, we were having issues with those people who were, I have 6 cats that I feed outside. It's not a 20 cat colony that we've got a dedicated team of trappers from the Humane Society that's out there doing it. It's a single person that really wants to try to get this colony to stop reproducing, but they can't drop off at 7:30 because they've got to be at work at 8. And trying to sort of make that more flexible for everybody. So yes, that's the kind, and introducing students who are not going into shelter medicine, who are not going into high volume spay neuter. Although I did have a student that didn't even know that high volume spay neuter was a possible career in the first iteration of this course. And I was like, girl, get in there. Yes, absolutely. And this was a student who would be a phenomenal high volume spay neuter veterinarian. So it was just like, yes, we're introducing you to this whole other world too. Getting students who maybe have never seen this before. And we actually did a survey of the students who just took the course this past iteration. And one of the questions that we asked was whether or not they would be more likely or less likely to pursue being involved in community cat management as veterinarians now that they've taken this course. And almost everybody said they would be much more likely. Most people said much more likely. Some people said like slightly more likely. Nobody said they would be in the same place, and nobody said that they would be less likely. So just being able to introduce them to this concept is hopeful. That's my goal. Yes. Is hopefully trying to get it to a place where even if we start with you get sneak one or two in there, but then eventually trying to build it back up to a place where we have more capacity because people understand and they want to do it.
And the other thing too, with the MASH style clinics, they are community building for the local veterinary community, because you'll have six or seven veterinarians. Some of them will be like pros. They show up every Sunday. They've been doing it for the last 10 years. And then you'll get a rotation of some different volunteers in there. And some will start off and say, hey, I just don't do that much surgery during the week, and I want to kind of stay in the game. But you learn a lot of tips and tricks, and you compare notes, and you have community. And I know a big part of what's going on in our animal welfare space and the veterinary space is this isolation. We're isolating ourselves and we're not able to talk to one another. We feel like we're competing with each other. And this is a place where you can come in, you can help the cats, but you can also help yourself by having conversations with others that are also sort of in your neighborhood, but you wouldn't have talked to them at all.
100%.
And I also, you made a brilliant point there, which was for private practice veterinarians to understand that if they had a community cat program wrapped into their private practice model, idle time would be filled up. Because if you have cats in the back that need surgery, so say emergency blockage comes in, well, you can delay the cats in the back. They're going to survive in a trap for another day. It's not going to be a problem. So you deal with the emergency. But then if you have a series of three or four cancellations, then you can draw on those cats from the back and to make sure that you really are maximizing the internal flow of the business unit. So as a practice manager or a practice owner, you want to encourage something like this because it's good for the community. It's a good press point. And then it's also good for business because it keeps everybody active too.
And cats are such an incredible, feral community cats are such an incredible way to help new graduates with their surgical training, because there are such interesting things that happen that you would never know about. So many cats have so many surprise pyometras. Cats have so many surprise weird things that are happening in their uteruses. Multiparous cats, you have to handle their uteruses a little bit differently. You never know what you're going to get when you get in there because you haven't done a physical exam ahead of time. And so it's such useful surgical training as well, that just like you said, when you've got that group of people that has done a lot of surgery or people that haven't done a lot of surgery, you see these things that you're just like, wow, what is that? You would have never seen it before. And so it can be such an incredible thing to bring together, for sure.
Dr. Goetz, I can't believe we're actually getting near the end of our time here. If there are folks interested in finding out more about the program that you offer, have questions or anything, is there a way for them to reach out to you?
Absolutely. So my email is ngetz@arizona.com. No, it doesn't matter what case it is, and there's no periods or dashes. So just my N, my first initial, and then my last name @arizona.edu. I said .com, it's .edu. That would be the best way.
Great. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Just get out there and volunteer. Check out your local community cat organizations. Even if trapping is fun, I had never trapped a cat before I did the 2025 community cat course at Florida. with Dr. Levy, and I went out and did cat trapping. And I will tell you, that was some of the most fun I ever had in my entire life. It was so entertaining. So get out there and do it. You will have a great time. You also get to meet the people in your community, which again goes to that point you made about isolation. You'd be surprised who's out there in the community and what people are doing. And that's really something that we need to do more of and change in what we do in our everyday lives. So get out there and get involved. It's really going to change your life.
Excellent. Dr. Getz, I'd like to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Stacey. I appreciate it.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.